It's 6 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. President Obama outlines his domestic priorities in his annual State of the Union address. President Obama used the State of the Union address late Tuesday to urge Congress to approve new policies he calls middle-class economics. In the annual speech before a joint session of Congress, Mr. Obama at times said of economic change, America has taken bold action to adapt to new circumstances.
We set up worker protections, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, to protect ourselves from the harshest adversity. We gave our citizens schools and colleges, infrastructure, and the internet, tools they needed to go as far as their efforts and their dreams will take them. That's what middle-class economics is. The idea that this country does best when everyone gets their fair shot. Everyone does their fair share. Everyone plays by the same set of rules.
In his seventh State of the Union address, Mr. Obama called for smarter American leadership, combining military power with strong diplomacy and coalition building. In the opposition response, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst said the new Republican-dominated Congress will work with the president, but will also have a renewed focus on addressing the real concerns of the American people. Cameroon says its troops clashed Tuesday with militants of the Islamic insurgency Boko Haram near Nigeria's border. The French press agency says the militants attacked the border village of Bandari. The Cameroon government says thousands of its people have fled areas near Nigeria for safer locations in the wake of intensified insurgent attacks. Officials from Nigeria, Chad, Niger, and Cameroon met in the Nigerian capital Niamey Tuesday to strategize on confronting the insurgency. At the same time, a new video posted online purporting to show the Boko Haram leader claimed a massive attack on the northern Nigerian town of Baga. This is VOA News. Voters in Zambia cast ballots Tuesday in an election to replace the late President Michael Sata, who died in October. Heavy rains delayed the voting in some polling stations. Some had to stay open late. Electoral Commission Director Priscilla Isaac says vote counting will likely also have to be pushed back.
I need to remind all of us and the Zambian public that because of the challenges of the weather, it is not just the collection by air that will be a challenge, but it is also the collection of the results from the respective polling stations by road.
There are 11 candidates vying for the presidency. The top contenders include Defense Minister Edgar Lungu of the ruling Patriotic Front Party and Hakainde Hichilema, who heads the opposition United Party for National Development. The winner will serve the remaining year and a half of the five-year term Mr. Sata earned when elected in 2011. Houthi rebels in Yemen seized the presidential compound and attacked the president's home Tuesday in the capital, Sana'a. In the latest attack targeting leadership in the country, the Shia militia clashed with security forces, breaking a ceasefire signed Monday after 9 people were killed. Rebel leader Abdel Malik al-Houthi said his faction is seeking an end to what he called corruption and totalitarianism in the government. The whereabouts of President Abd Rabu al-Mansur Hadi remain unclear. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for a truce, demanding the government's full authority be restored. Stefan Dujarric is Mr. Ban's spokesman.
He deplores the heavy fighting between Ansarallah armed groups and Yemeni presidential guards throughout Sana'a. The Secretary General calls on all sides to immediately cease all hostilities, exercise maximum restraint, and take the necessary steps to restore full authority to the legitimate government institutions.
Houthi forces calling for greater rights for Yemen's Shia minority overran the capital in September. A commander of the notorious Lord's Resistance Army, who surrendered last week, is en route to the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Dominic Ongwen is one of the main leaders of the rebel group who stands accused of crimes against humanity that date back to the 1980s. A U.N. helicopter gunship Tuesday destroyed a rebel vehicle in northern Mali after U.N. ground forces came under heavy fire. The incident occurred in Tabankort near Gao. It follows fighting in the area between Tuareg separatists and other armed groups considered loyalists to the Bamako government. The UN MINUSMA contingent was deployed to project the government's authority in the desert areas of the north, controlled by Al-Qaeda-linked Islamists. Indonesia's transport minister says the AirAsia flight that crashed in the Java Sea last month stalled because it was climbing too fast for the wings to generate lift. He said the normal rate for commercial planes is only 300 to 600 meters. The crash occurred December 28. None of the 162 people aboard survived. The plane went down in stormy weather. It was supposed to be a short trip from Surabaya, Indonesia, to Singapore. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, and here are some of the stories we are covering. President Barack Obama Tuesday delivered his annual State of the Union speech.
Tonight, after a breakthrough year for America, our economy is growing and creating jobs at the fastest pace since 1999.
We'll have the Africa perspective on the president's speech. There were new clashes Tuesday between Cameroon's military and Boko Haram insurgents. Former prisoners in Kenya seek redemption through work. And African countries are seen as vital in the fight against Ebola.
One of the biggest contributions the African nations have made are doctors. It's not easy for people to decide to come and fight Ebola right where they could get infected.
Fatoumata Lejeune Kaba is the spokesperson for the UN mission for Ebola emergency response and new threats against Zimbabwe's remaining white commercial farmers. Those stories plus Mark Omar, sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. U.S. President Barack Obama Tuesday night delivered his next-to-last State of the Union speech. Mr. Obama is facing a new Congress dominated by opposition Republicans, but he is starting his seventh year as the American leader at a time when public surveys show he is riding a new wave of popularity as the U.S. economy continues its surge. The president highlighted the improvement in the U.S. economy.
We are 15 years into this new century. 15 years that dawned with terror touching our shores, that unfolded with a new generation fighting two long and costly wars, that saw a vicious recession spread across our nation and the world. It has been and still is a hard time for many. But tonight, we turn the page. Tonight, after a breakthrough year for America, our economy is growing and creating jobs at the fastest pace since 1999.
Mr. Obama praised American troops, scientists, doctors, and healthcare workers for their role in helping to roll back Ebola in West Africa.
In West Africa, our troops, our scientists, our doctors, our nurses, our healthcare workers are rolling back Ebola, saving countless lives and stopping the spread of disease. I could not be prouder of them. And I thank this Congress for your bipartisan support of their efforts. But the job is not yet done. And the world needs to use this lesson to build a more effective global effort to prevent the spread of future pandemics. Invest in smart development and eradicate extreme poverty.
On the 50th anniversary this year of the march from Selma to Montgomery to push for black voting rights, President Barack Obama called on Congress to help reform America's criminal justice system to serve all Americans. Joining us for some Africa perspective and analysis of President Obama's State of the Union speech is Ambassador Johnny Carson, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs in the Obama administration and currently with the United States Institute of Peace.
I think the U.S. has been a strong partner across Africa in helping to combat violent extremism in places like Somalia and also against Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and Mali. In Somalia, the United States government has been a strong financial and technical partner to AMISOM and the states who comprise that African military force, primarily Uganda, Burundi, Djibouti, Kenya, and also Ethiopia. The U.S. has provided financial assistance to those governments, has provided training and equipment to those governments, and has worked with them very closely as they have effectively degraded and dispersed and substantially weakened al-Shabaab in Somalia. And I think it's been a very successful partnership between the U.S. And other countries in working with AMISOM and the African Union there. In Mali, against al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, the U.S. Has been a strong partner in working with ECOWAS and with the French in helping to provide financial assistance, logistics, information, and transport in support of that effort. And as a whole, the United States has developed assistance in working in partnership with the countries in West Africa in the Trans-Sahara counterterrorism effort, and also in an East African counterterrorism effort. So the U.S. has been a partner in the effort in helping those countries fight violent extremism, and will probably continue to do so.
Ambassador Johnny Carlson is the former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs in the Obama administration and currently with the United States Institute of Peace. He was speaking with me from Washington, D.C. There were heavy clashes Tuesday between Cameroon's military and Boko Haram militants near the border with Nigeria. The new fighting came as Nigeria and its regional neighbors, including Chad, Niger, and Cameroon, met Tuesday in Niger's capital, Niamey, to plan a strategy against the Islamist fighters. Cameroon's Minister of Communication, Issa Chiroma Bakari, says unless a united front emerges from the Niamey summit, Boko Haram will continue to kill innocent people and occupy sovereign territories with impunity.
There has been a clash between our army and Boko Haram insurgents. This is not surprising at all, given the fact that they continue to have the initiative. They are the ones who decide at any given time what will be their next target, when will they trigger the process, the logistics that has to be involved, the arms which they will use. So it is not surprising, for as long as very effective measures involving all the parties is not in place, from time to time and day in, day out, it is possible to hear about Boko Haram misdeeds.
The last time we spoke with you, Mr. Minister, you had mentioned that your country needed a broader international support. There's a meeting of regional countries taking place in Niamey, Asia. Is your country represented, and what would you like to see coming out of that meeting?
Well, my country was represented indeed. The Minister of Defense, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the high-profile military were involved in this meeting. We are in the front line. What results do we expect from this meeting? Well, just to raise, to uplift the awareness of the members, of the people who were summoned, who were invited to be part of this meeting. They have to understand that Boko Haram is not a transitory phenomenon. Boko Haram is something which will last, will spread, and will invade all the countries neighboring Nigeria. This has to be understood. And in the meeting which has started yesterday and which will continue, what we are looking forward to receiving or to understanding is that all of them understood the need to come together, to collect their means, to conceive a military blueprint, which will to move gradually, but to move until they reach the Boko Haram hideouts in the forest, to dislodge them and to put them out of service. For as long as this such a decision hasn't been taken, we will continue to hear about Boko Haram, maybe not always in Cameroon. So what we are looking forward to hearing and receiving is that in Niamey, they took this and that resolution, and the international community decided to support and to assist them in the best way possible.
The last time we talked, you had said it was impossible for Boko Haram to have military bases in your country. Now, with the latest fighting, do you still believe that?
It did not change, and it will never, ever change. It is possible from time to time to cross the border, to enter into Cameroon because it is impossible to have a contingent, a troop, in every 5 or 10 kilometers. It is impossible, and in no country such a thing can take place. But whenever there is an aggression, whenever a village is stormed by them, so soon as the alert is made, then the military take the necessary measures to go there and to chase them out.
Issa Chiroma Bakari is Cameroon's Minister of Communication and Government spokesman. He was speaking with me from the capital, Yaoundé. Sub-Saharan African countries have made relatively small but vitally important contributions towards the fight against Ebola. This includes sending much-needed healthcare workers and medical supplies, as well as dedicating already limited resources towards prevention and surveillance measures within their own borders to stop the further spread of the disease. Jennifer Lazuta has more from VOA's West Africa Bureau in Dakar.
More than 850 doctors and nurses from African countries have been deployed to Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone to help bring an end to West Africa's Ebola outbreak, which has killed more than 8,500 people since it began nearly a year ago. African countries have also collectively donated tens of millions of dollars in financial aid and material resources. UN Mission for Ebola Emergency Response spokesperson Fatemata Lejeune Kaba.
One of the biggest contributions the African nations have made are doctors. And it's not easy for people to decide to come and fight Ebola right where they could get infected. It's all good to have all kinds of facilities, to send labs, to send ambulances. Those are very important in the fight against Ebola, but you also need people to bury the dead, to dig the graves, to make the contacts. And those who are the forefront doing that are the nationals themselves.
The African Union's support to Ebola in West Africa says they plan to deploy at least 1,000 volunteers and health workers from African countries. The Director of Social Affairs for the African Union, Olawale Mayugan, said the response by Africans in the fight against Ebola has been tremendous.
There's been a lot of what we call African solidarity and Africa, you know, helping Africa, and it should not go unnoticed. Remember, Africa itself, we do not have enough of health, human resources for it. So to recruit 1,000 volunteers has been a huge challenge. What cannot put a price on is the human resources. It's the most valuable resources. It's helping us to fight Ebola.
Many countries have also contributed in ways that cannot necessarily be price tagged. Senegal, for example, opened a humanitarian corridor to allow for the movement of people and supplies into and out of the affected countries. Ghana serves as a logistics hub and headquarters for the UN mission. Kaba says other West African countries, particularly those that neighbor the most affected countries, have since spent money on putting in place border control surveillance, launching Ebola public awareness campaigns, training health workers, and pre-positioning supplies.
So that's one of the major contributions from the African countries. There are also the countries involved themselves that have devoted part of their budgets to the fight against Ebola. And this is at the expense of other investments that they would have made in their countries if the Ebola outbreak had not taken place.
In November, more than 60 local African businesses pledged $28.5 million to fight Ebola. Ethiopia launched a campaign in December that allows individuals from the private sector, who are not doctors or nurses but want to help, to donate towards Ebola response via SMS. Burundi, Chad, the Central African Republic, Ghana, Kenya, Lesotho, Senegal, Tanzania, Zambia, and Zimbabwe have similar programs. Jennifer Lazuta for VOA News, Dakar.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. And today is Wednesday, January 21st. I'm James Butte in Washington. And please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is 15 minutes past the hour. It is hard to find a job in Kenya, and even harder with a criminal background. But a group of former prisoners in Nairobi is working to prove there's life after crime. VOA's Gabe Jaslow has the story.
In the Mathare neighborhood of Nairobi, a group of former prisoners have exchanged a life of crime for a life of service. Every day, these ex-convicts take to the streets, collecting trash and doing other odd jobs to give back to a community that receives few public services. It all started with an idea hatched in prison by Festus Indemuli and his fellow inmates while he was serving 6 years for a violent robbery. Reflecting on the mistakes they made as young men, the inmates thought there must be a better way, and founded the reformists' organization Crime Kwetusi Poa, or Crime Is Not Good.
When we create all these jobs for these guys, nobody else will think of crime again. Because he has something in his pocket, and he has somewhere that he's staying all the day from morning to the evening. But you see, when he doesn't do anything, just sitting like this, he engages his mind to the crime also. So that's how we tend to stop the crime in the area.
A year since its founding, the organization has more than 200 members. Raising a small amount of cash through their work, members hope to expand operations to provide more services, including security. The community, they say, is mostly supportive. But some, like fruit vendor Stanley Mururi, are a bit skeptical.
We hope from where they have been, they have reformed. That is what we hope.
Some former inmates say their friends and families abandoned them when they went to prison. The organization serves as a kind of support group for those who feel they lost touch with society. Reformist member Moses Bayonne says he is ready to make up for lost time.
For some time, like myself, I was there for 6 years. I spent time there. It was no good, so I understand. I wasted most of my time there. I would have made something outside here, you see. But after that, I learned something, and I knew crime is not good.
Kenyan prisoners often receive training while behind bars, earning certificates in skills like plumbing, electrical work, or carpentry. The furniture used by the country's parliament was made in prison. But despite their talents, it is nearly impossible to get a job. Being an ex-con is a tough stigma.
They cannot use that certificate or that grade they got from prison, because when he goes to the camp and somewhere and show the grade, it's also being written there, committee maximum prison.
Until a time comes when it is easier for former prisoners to re-enter society, the reformists will keep picking up small jobs here and there, doing whatever it takes to raise a little money, to give something back to the community, and to commit themselves to prove the belief that everyone deserves a second chance. Gabe Joselo, VOA News, Nairobi.
In Zimbabwe, anxiety levels are increasing within the country's remaining white commercial farming community following new threats from acting President Emmerson Mnangagwa that the government will soon intensify land grabs under its land redistribution program. Mr. Mnangagwa reportedly said the fresh farm seizures will target white farmers, black multiple farm owners, and will reduce farm sizes. Commercial Farmers Union spokesman Hendrik Olivier says the future looks bleak for the few remaining white farmers in Zimbabwe.
It's concerning that we hear these statements, but my assumption is that they would like to conduct a land audit to identify where all the land is and see what land they can then distribute further.
But what is the current situation regarding white commercial farmers?
The situation in the country is that there are still a few white commercial farmers that are farming. They are not farming on the original land holdings. They are farming partially on land that they've been told that they can farm on, smaller sections of the original farm. And that also the current situation as we speak now is in certain areas of the country we are experiencing problems where it would appear people are going around, beneficiaries accompanied by lands officials, and instructing the farmers to vacate within a certain period of time their farms. In other areas, they are also being told that this is the last crop that you will produce and that you must be off, for example, say by April this year.
So in terms of numbers, do you have an idea how many whites still remain on their farms?
There are most probably very much less than 300 throughout the country of farmers still on their land. And I must stress, Mr. Gondo, this is not their original farm sizes. This is downsized portions of farm, people farming on other farms. This is not their original farm holdings.
Hendrik Olivier is the spokesman for the Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union. He spoke with Chris Gandhi of VOA Zimbabwe Service. It's coming up at 25 minutes past the hour time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. And here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Wednesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we focus on the Orange African Cup of Nations in Equatorial Guinea. Yatara Jr. scored in the first half for Guinea, while Sedou Doumbia leveled the score in the second half as a 10-man Ivory Coast held Guinea to a 1-1 draw in the capital Malabo on Tuesday. Still in Malabo, second-half goals scored by Nations Cup debutants Sambou Yatabare of Mali, then Cameroonian Bitolo Oyongo, resulted in the new-look Cameroonian side holding Mali to a 1-1 draw in the second Group D encounter. Meanwhile, Cameroonian fans are satisfied with the new-look Indomitable Lions start to the Nations Cup campaign. My colleague James Batty spoke to the editor of This Is Sports newspaper, Franklin Bayan, in Yaoundé, Cameroon, who explains.
Cameroon hasn't had a victory, but at least we didn't have a defeat either. So we contend with a draw, especially because the other group members, Guinea and the Ivory Coast, also played a draw, an identical 1-1 draw. So that's for Cameroon, though we hope it would have been better.
Can we say that your team, Cameroon, was lucky because I think they scored the last minute?
Well, it's a lucky escape. You need to be lucky in this game. We didn't have a wonderful day, and we had lost the game, and then we had this kind of last-minute clinker. Yeah, you know that after the World Cup in Brazil, where Cameroon had a very dismal performance, a lot of renewal was done in the team. Old stars like Samuel Eto'o, Makun, Achiwebo, the top players over the past decade have been shared, and Cameroon has undertaken an exercise to renew the squad. To have this team qualify as brilliantly as it did for the Cup of Nations is something Cameroonians have been very happy about. But then, you know, this country loves football, this country loves victory, and even though the team is so new, we hope that the remaining games of the group stages, Lions can do better, maybe get a victory against the Ivory Coast and get us into the next stage of the competition. That would be wonderful for Cameroon.
That was Franklin Bayan, the editor. This is Sports Newspaper, speaking in Yaoundé, Cameroon. Finally, Equatorial Guinea play Burkina Faso before Gabon engage Republic of Congo in Group A matches in Bata today, Wednesday. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Here's our listener mail for this Wednesday morning, January 21st.
Hello, Daybreak Africa. This is Ibrahim Omar Abu Karim, welcoming all listeners to an entertaining program like this. I want to take this time and congratulate our APC presidential candidate, General Muhammad Buhari, for paying a visit to Kano and lauding out his own solidarity to APC. And as APC member, I want to assure those who believe in change to please use the 14th of February this year to vote for the rightful people. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
We thank you, listener, for your comment, and please send your viewpoints to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. And briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. The World Bank says the economic impact of the Ebola epidemic in African economies will be lower than expected. In a report released Tuesday, the World Bank said that Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone will lose at least $1.6 billion this year in economic growth. That's it for this Wednesday, January 21st edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Butte in Washington, saying, have a very nice day, Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, we honor the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with a look at the quest for human rights, justice, and dignity in Ferguson, Missouri, and around the world. That's next time on VOA Africa.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz and 15580 kilohertz. We are also live on the Internet at www.voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.
News.
features, music from Africa and around the world. You want it? We have it on VOAAfrica.com.
VOAAfrica.com.
All day, all night.